Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, this is episode 273. I'm glad you're back with us. This week, we've got some really cool pieces, as well as Brother Stephen L. Harrison is back with the Masonic Minute. We've got some great news, so let's get right into it. This episode of Whence Came You is brought to you by MasonicRevival.com. That's a Masonic design group bringing you the latest fashion trends and Masonic accessories and regalia. You can check out their newest neckties, aprons, and accessories at MasonicRevival.com. Right off the cuff in the news, I just wanted to say I had the privilege and the honor to be on a really neat podcast called Project Bring Me to Life, and you can check out their website at www.projectbringmetolife.com. It's Project Bring Me, the number 2, wordlife.com. Their tagline is Awakening Humanity to Spirituality and Higher Consciousness. So, as you know, I'm kind of an esoteric Mason, and I'm really into that kind of thing, and I had a really great opportunity to talk about Freemasonry on their podcast. So we talked about general Freemasonry, some issues within Freemasonry as those correspond to the outside world. But really the topic of the show was Freemasonry and the Temple of Man. So it was really cool. Plus, for the cover art of that particular episode, they used my portrait from Brother Travis Simpkins, who does these famous chalk drawings, and you kind of know you made it when he does one. It's pretty awesome. So anyway, check that out. I'm also going to be putting up a page on the website that will feature some different areas where I have been interviewed on things about Freemasonry. So if you care to check them out, you can. Some of them are wild, some of them are crazy, some of them are right along the lines of the norm within Freemasonry. That said, a huge congratulations goes out to Worshipful Brother Jason Richards. That's right, Jason Richards from Acacia Lodge in Clifton, Virginia, was installed on Saturday, December 3rd, this in the morning, and you can check out that video of his live stream on the Masonic Roundtable live on air they did, and the installation that followed. Very cool, huge congrats. Now we just got one last guy on the Masonic Roundtable who hasn't been master yet, and that's Brother Juan Sepulveda. Juan, you better get on it, buddy. But in all seriousness, really cool, really huge honor to know such a cool and hip worshipful master like Jason Richards. I know it's going to be a great year, and congratulations. And as always, if there's anything I can do or we can do for you, we won't hesitate to do what we can for you. Also, I did want to mention it is right around the corner, January 26th to be exact, which is a Thursday at 6 p.m. The Word, Myth, Legend, and Science at the 8th Annual Festive Board for University Masonic Lodge, number 1190 AFNAM in Austin, Texas. It's going to be at the Austin Club at 110 East 9th Street, and all of the proceeds of this will go to the Austin Children's Shelter, the UT Elementary School, Anthropos Arts, and other local children's charities through the University Masonic Charitable Foundation. For information or for tickets, please send an email to foundation@uml1190.org. The contributions to the UMCF, that's the University Masonic Charity Foundation, and the silent auction purchases are all tax deductible to the maximum extent allowed by the law. So we're going to have a good time. I am the featured speaker this year. Really looking forward to it. Huge honor. And again, we're going to explore the Word, the Myth, the Legend, and the Science. It's going to be really cool. So again, check that out. Thursday, January 26, 2017. And you can find it all on Facebook, or you can go over to our website, wcypodcast.com, and check out the flyer for a little bit more information. I also want to mention in April, it's a little ways off, Ezekiel Bates Lodge is having the annual Masonic Con 2017. It's going to be on April 29th at 9 a.m. and it goes till 5 p.m. and it's located 71 North Main Street, Attleboro, Massachusetts. It's free and open to all. Lectures by Paul C. Smith, Pierce A. Vaughn, Angel Miller, Richard Cassero, Greg Kaminsky, Oscar Aline, And of course, yours truly. There's going to be an esoteric symbolism panel discussion, wall-to-wall vendors, and even if you're into it, the Tall Cedars of Lebanon and the Grotto will be there performing degrees. If you want up-to-date information, please visit their website at EB, as in Ezekiel Bates, EB1870.org to check it out. So I'll be there presenting as well. Really looking forward to both these events. With that, and with some of the reading that I've been doing lately, I wanted to read a couple pieces this week that dove into the idea of the unseen. And I think this kind of goes along the lines with some of the neat movies you may have seen in the recent years, starting with perhaps Inception, Interstellar, The Edge of Tomorrow, The Arrival, and even most recently, Doctor Strange. So I think these pieces may somehow, in a grounded fashion, touch on a little bit of some of these concepts pushed out in pop culture and film. So the first one I have for you is a Short Talk Bulletin. I have largely stopped doing the Short Talk Bulletins because I really don't want to step on the toes of anybody out there at the Short Talk Bulletin website where they actually are going back and recording these as podcasts. But we had done a number of them before they started, so every once in a while I may pull one, although it is not done in any way to step on anybody's toes. So, brothers from the podcast version of Short Talk Bulletin, no disrespect intended, just found this one really cool. This one is by Unknown Time. A Short Talk Bulletin, volume number 6, January 1928, number 1, by Unknown. From chapter 27 of Foreign Countries by Brother Carl H. Claudy. A delightful and inspiring study of Masonic symbolism written for and published by the Masonic Services Association of the United States. One of the hidden, or quote-unquote, covered symbols of Freemasonry is found in the many references to time. The entered apprentice is given a 24-inch gauge as his working tool, and with it taught to divide his time. The entered apprentice must wait a certain time before taking his fellowcraft degree. The fellowcraft is reminded of the time required for creation, for the foundation and the function of geometry, as to time is emphasized. Quote, by it also the astronomer is enabled to make his observations and fix the duration of time and seasons, years and cycles. End quote. He is also made to realize that there are three principal causes which contribute to destruction. The hand of ignorance, the devastations of war, and the lapse of time. The fellowcraft must wait a period of time before he may receive his Master Mason degree. As a Master Mason, he is reminded of the passage of time in the reading from Ecclesiastes. Emphasis is put upon the journey from the quote unquote the days of thy youth to that hour when shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. In the prayer use, in the sublime degree, we hear man that is born of women is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also in the shadow and continueth not. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish his day. Master Masons are taught from the scriptures of the length of time required to construct the Temple of Solomon. The three steps on Master's carpet are of youth, manhood, and old age, which, as we have seen, the three degrees as a whole are symbols. The hourglass, an instrument used for the measurement of time, is one of the symbols discussed in the lecture of the sublime degree. Quote, the scythe is an emblem of time which cuts the brittle thread of life and launches us into eternity. Behold, what havoc the scythe of time makes among the human race. If, by chance, we should escape the numerous evils incident to childhood and youth, and, with health and vigor, arrive at the years of manhood. Yet, withal, we must soon be cut down by the all-devouring scythe of time and be gathered into the land where our fathers have gone before us. End quote. There are many more references to time. High 12 and low 12, the calling from labor to refreshment, the return to labor in due season, and the hourglass will occur to all. With the exception of the small paragraph quoted above, however, explanatory of the scythe as an emblem of time, there is neither monitorial nor secret explanation of time as a symbol. Yet surely it is used as such, when so many references are made to it. Nor can we be content with a thought of that, as time is so important to us all, it could not entirely be left out in the making of the degrees of the order. What is time? No man knoweth. The very philosophers who explain it confess the inadequacy of their explanations. We know of a past, possesses a present, and hope for a future. If the past is dead and gone, it yet influences our present. If the future is only a hope, it is yet the treasure box of all our lives, for which we strive endlessly. The only part of time we have is the immediate now, is always the least important of all. Objects have length, breadth, and thickness. They also have a duration. The instantaneous cube cannot exist. We can have no conception of anything material or spiritual which does not have some length of time of existence. Some mathematicians speak of time as the fourth dimension of matter, and Einstein's theories, but the general and special, are concerned with a something which is neither space nor time, but a blend or combination of both. The only measurement of time we know is finite. The revolution of the earth about the axis and about the sun or any other heavenly body movement is our only means of measurement of duration. We can expand it into light years or contract it with split second watches, but all our measurement is founded upon a purely finite material happening. Infinite time is a phase, not a concept. The human mind cannot conceive of endless time. We say, quote, as it was in the beginning and ever shall be, end quote, but the words contradict themselves, for anything which ever shall be must always have been, and therefore could not have had a beginning. Whether we think of time or a piece of string, we cannot conceive it as having only one end. We conceive ourselves as moving along time from birth to death over a path which we divide into milestones of years, days, hours, and minutes, all multiples or divisors of that which elapses between sun and sun. Yet the human mind reels at the thought of travel forward which does not have something behind or which does not approach something. If there was no beginning to leave behind, if there is no end toward which we go, are we really traveling through time? Or is time a vast wheel, merely sweeping around and around us? Men fool themselves. In all ages and times past, men have told themselves fairy tales and believed them. Our remote ancestors watched the fall of a rock and believed in the anger of the stone. They heard the growl of thunder, the rage of some mighty hidden being. They saw in the lightning flash which killed, the righteous wrath of power unguessed. But a few hundred years ago, an eclipse of the sun was a potent of evil. A comet in the sky, a sure sign of pestilence. The earth was flat, and mariners need beware lest they fall off the edge. What we do not understand, we ascribe to the supernatural in spite of the experience of science and the teachings of history. A savage mind finds a telephone a miracle. It behooves us to think carefully and make up our minds slowly. Every day we find the knowledge of yesterday was not knowledge but fiction. Our atoms are no longer atomic. Our matter is no longer matter. Our space is no longer of three dimensions. Our astronomy is as different today from what it was 20 years ago as that was from Copernicus's day. We no longer lay on hands or prescribe the leech and bloodletting for disease. We no longer withhold water from the fevered or air from the pneumonia patient. Disease is no longer a visitation from on high, but a matter of germs from the earth. The pestilence, which was once the work of Satan, is now located in a drain pipe or a swamp. We have certain concepts today which we believe to be absolute facts, despite the fact that we demonstrate there's no absolute. Only a short while ago, the Philosopher's Stone, the elixir of life, and the perpetual motion were demonstrated impossibilities. Now our scientists talk rationally of the possibilities of transmutation of metals, our surgeons talk of renewed youth throughout transferred glands, and for all we know to the contrary, some man may arise with a new theory of energy a la Einstein, of space and time in which the self-mover may actually function. It does not do to be certain of anything. The open mind is the only one into which new thoughts may come. There is no absolute. The fact of today is the fiction of yesterday. The romance of tomorrow becomes the experience of today when tomorrow comes. Time is the most familiar fact of our lives. Every man carries a watch. We get up, eat, work, make love, marry, have children, join Masonic lodges, die, and bury our dead according to the schedule of time. Yet this very familiar fact, this thing, is as much a part of our lives as our bodies. This commonplace, everyday, utterly, usually matter is the most mysterious, most unknown, most completely unsolvable, finite mystery about us. Is time, then, in a Freemason's lodge, not a symbol of deity? We believe that the great architect of the universe is part of our daily lives. We thank God for labor. We praise God for love. We marry under the blessing of deity, christen our children with his word, join Masonic lodges erected to God, die in the hope of his immortality, and bury our dead with the sprig of acacia, its symbol. And yet this familiar fact, this idea which is much a part of our daily lives as our souls, is our most mysterious, most unknown, and most completely unsolvable finite mystery. Time, puzzle never solved of man's mind. God, puzzle never solved of man's soul. The conclusion seems inescapable that the many references to time in Freemasonry, the insistence upon time as a factor in the degrees and in what they teach of life, was no fortuitous circumstance, no mere unwitting bringing of the life of every day into the ritual of our degrees, but a great symbol of deity and our complete dependence upon him, a symbol teaching that as our lives are inextricably mingled with God, a hope, a faith, but a concept never to be understood in this world. So mote it be. All right, I hope that kind of got your mind reeling about just what time is such an interesting concept, especially when you do the research on the epochs of civilizations, the ancient mysteries of the Indians, and how we're now in the fourth age of man, or the fourth sun, and how the Christian religion talks about we're in the end of days, and you know, many of the Hopi Indians think that we're in the last days before some global catastrophe where we are consumed by fire and we start over again. The idea of this antediluvian society that may have sent forth emissaries into the world, which would explain the many different pyramidal structures all over the planet, or, you know, there's all these ideas that are tied to this idea of time. I mean, think about the Mayans' obsession with time throughout their amazing calendar, the most intricate and accurate calendar to date that ever has existed. It's really fascinating. But with that, let's shift gears just a little bit and go into this week's Masonic Minute with illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison.
I found myself wandering through an antique shop a while back with my wife, Carol. It's not my favorite thing to do, but not a problem since she was having enough fun for both of us. My mind was about to implode when I suddenly saw something that set me back a bit. It was a somewhat nondescript piece of sheet music featuring a drawing of a young woman on its cover. That's standard enough, but it was the title of the song that struck me. For every boy who's on the level, there's a girl who's on the square. I thought, you gotta be kidding me. Closer inspection confirmed the title. It turns out this was a popular song in the 1920s, with lyrics and music by Harry Pease, Edward G. Nelson, and Gilbert Dodge. Now, I suppose it could be a coincidence, but face it, one or all of those guys was a Freemason. None of them have a listing in Denslow's 10,000 Famous Freemasons, however, and I can't otherwise confirm any link to the fraternity. Edward G. Nelson, who lived from 1885 to 1969, was an early 20th century songwriter with credits in several movies and television shows, most recently a rendition of his composition Pretty Kitty Kelly in a 2010 episode of HBO's Boardwalk Empire. Dodge was also a composer of the same period who primarily worked with Nelson. Pease was the lyricist in the group. The words don't have much to do with Freemasonry. It goes something like this. I was a pal to my daddy, and dad was a pal to me. This is the story he told me one day, and it lingers through my memory. For every boy who's on the level, there's a girl who's just the same. When you gamble with a heart, remember from the start, it always pays to play an honest game. Everyone was meant for someone, and they'll meet that someone, sometime, somewhere. For every boy who's on the level, there's a girl who's on the square. Perhaps the song title speaks to a greater prevalence of Masonry in society in the 1920s. It may be that people in general back then would recognize its Masonic connection, or maybe it reflects the fact that Masons of the era comprised a larger percentage of the population. Today, the song's title might only have significance to our brothers. I have a feeling the origin of the terms on the level and on the square was more familiar to people a century ago than today. Perhaps a century or so from now, people looking back at our time will have lost the connections in our cultural references to Star Wars, James Bond, and countless internet memes in the same manner. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute, and I'll leave you with the song in all its glory. One verse, that is. That may be all you can stand. Enjoy.
I was a pal to my daddy, and that was a pal to me. This is the story he told me one day, and it lingers through my memory. For every boy who's on the level, there's a girl who's just the same. When you gamble with a heart, remember from the start, it always pays to play an honest game. Everyone was meant for someone, and they'll meet that someone sometime, somewhere. For every boy who's on the level, there's a girl who's on the
All right, hope you enjoyed. A little bit different, adding the music in there at the end. Just a great treat and always an amazing historical ride. Thanks so much to Brother Stephen L. Harrison, one of the most amazing writers in Masonry today. Always has the ability to bring us a perspective on something that we tend to look past, and it's just fantastic. So again, thank you, illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison, for your awesome contributions to this program. So the next piece I have comes from the Masonic Philosophical Society, Recapturing the Spirit of the Renaissance. And you can find them at blog.philosophicalsociety.org. This is part of their archives, and it's on the multiverse theory. So here you go. October 12th, 2016, by Elaine Polionis Felon in National Science, Multiverse Theory. From time immemorial, the thinking man has pondered the origin of the universe and his role in the cosmos. Scientists in the 20th century brought forth the Big Bang Theory to explain the creation of the universe, and recent scientific research, however, provides a compelling evidence that the age of the universe could be infinite. Was there a singular starting point of the universe? What if the universe has existed forever? Understanding the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory postulates that our universe did have a definite beginning. Prior to that, there was nothing. After that moment, there was something. Our universe. According to this theory, our universe came into existence as a quote-unquote singularity approximately 13.7 billion years ago. Singularities are thought to exist at the core of black holes, which are areas of intense gravitational pressure. The pressure inside of a black hole is thought to be so intense that finite matter is actually smashed into infinite density. The Big Bang Theory argues that our known universe began as an infinitely small, hot, and dense singularity. Then, there was an explosion, at which time the singularity inflated and then cooled. The universe changed over millions of years from something tiny and very hot to the universe's current size and temperature, and the universe has continued to expand and cool throughout history. Thus, the Big Bang Theory provided a scientifically based explanation of what happened at the very beginning of our universe, continuing until our current time, this very moment. Evidence for the Big Bang Theory. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble studied distant spirals in the deep skies, measuring the individual stars within the spirals and determining the brightness of each star. By combining these measurements with their movement and brightness, Hubble deduced that the universe was expanding from a once compacted state. If the universe was smaller and denser in the past, the Big Bang Theory argues that the universe expanded from a smaller state to reach its current point. In the 1940s, George Gammon added to the theory by postulating that if the universe was smaller, it must have been hotter, defined by its wavelength, radiations, energy, and temperature stretch as the fabric of space expands. Thus, if the universe were smaller, radiation wavelengths were condensed and created a higher temperature. Extrapolating backwards, there is a point reached when radiation becomes too energetic to form neutral atoms. In the 1960s, Arno Penzias and Robert Woodrow Wilson experimented with the Holmdel-Horn antenna, built to detect radio waves bounced off echo balloon satellites. When Penzias and Wilson reduced their data, they discovered a persistent, low, steady, and mysterious noise. Certain that the radiation they detected on a wavelength of 7.35 centimeters did not come from the Earth, the Sun, or the Milky Way galaxy, they eventually postulated that it was from the radiation left over from an explosion that filled the universe at the beginning of its existence. They termed this remnant energy cosmic microwave background radiation. Their work helped to cement the wide-scale acceptance of the Big Bang Theory. Recent scientific changes to the Big Bang Theory. Modern scientific research demonstrates compelling evidence against the concept of a singularity as the beginning of the universe. Astrophysicist Ethan Siegel argues that instead of the singularity point, the universe transitioned from a prior state not filled with matter, antimatter, radiation, neutrinos, etc. Undergoing a period of cosmic inflation, this pre-universe was filled with a form of energy inherent to space itself and expanded slowly without a change in energy or temperature. In the phase of cosmic inflation, there was an exponential expansion that stretched the universe flat and wiped out any ultra-massive relic particles and topological defects, ending approximately 13.8 billion years ago. Cosmic inflation set up the conditions that led to the Big Bang event, thus creating our known observable universe. This theory adds the fascinating possibility that we may be living in a multiverse, and our observable universe is just one of many universes. In February of 2015, two physicists, Ahmed Farag Ali, professor at Benna University in Egypt, and Surya Das, professor at University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada, published Cosmology from Quantum Potential. Their work proposes a quote-unquote corrected version of Einstein's theory of general relativity and demonstrates inaccuracies in the current Big Bang theory. In the new formulation, the universe did not originate from an infinitely dense singularity. In fact, the theory suggests that the age of the universe could be infinite, according to the study co-author Surya Das. Moreover, Das and Ali's research utilized Bohmian mechanics to reconcile two of the most dominant theories in physics, quantum mechanics and general relativity. Using this form of quantum theory, the researchers calculated a small correction term that could be included in Einstein's theory of general relativity. In the new formulation, there is no zero-point singularity, and the universe is infinitely old, destroying ignorance. The Masonic Philosophical Society was established with an ambition to destroy ignorance, which begs the question, what is ignorance? Perhaps ignorance is accepting what others tell you or what you have been taught without questioning. Instead of blindly accepting concepts like the Big Bang Theory as fact, Masonry teaches an individual to question why we believe something, to do our own research, and to consider other points of view. By questioning our preconceived notions, we open new doors of insight into how our world works and our role in the cosmos. So that's that piece. Not overly inherently Masonic, but it is, because it is a study of astronomy, one of the seven liberal arts and sciences. Now, this is no means a stretching of a Masonic piece. However, it is interesting that through this entire show, in 273 episodes, we study Masonry as what it is, its history, and some esoteric concepts. But isn't Masonry more? isn't Masonry the study of the seven liberal arts and sciences? And yes, we do charge our members to go out and to learn those things individually, but really, shouldn't some of these topics be discussed in a lodge? And I think that's something we need to think about. And going forward in the show, I think having articles like this from time to time, whether they be on grammar, rhetoric, logic, arithmetic, geometry, music, or astronomy, as long as they speak to the average Mason, they can be understood. I think there's room for these kind of pieces going forward. And I'm a little surprised that we really haven't thought about doing this before. But look for these kind of articles every once in a while where we will tie it back to Masonry in a way. And I think this also adds to you, the listener, your ability to practice those seven liberal arts and sciences without having to go grab a book or read an article maybe. We can bring these to you every once in a while. And of course, again, we will tie it back to Freemasonry. Don't worry. So with that, we are going to close out this week. And I will have an episode for you on the 11th and on the 18th. There will not be an episode on Christmas Day, which is the 25th. And there will not be an episode on the 1st of January. So we will have approximately two more episodes after this one. And we will then be dark until you hear from me again on January 8th, 2017. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. Please do consider supporting our program by either buying a pin, a lapel pin from our show store, and we have some limited edition items as well. Consider picking up one of the money clips, the sets of cufflinks, which are my favorite, the tie bars, which are also very popular, but that lapel pin is just so amazing. And if it wouldn't be too much trouble, if you do order one of these, even if you ordered one of these in the past, hit me up on Instagram, share a picture of it, you wearing it somewhere, maybe tag a location, tag a brother who might want to be interested in the show, or put it on Facebook and share it with us. It's so cool to see those pins out there everywhere, and I've gotten so many really neat tags and posts on Facebook where people are showing off their pins, you know, wherever they are, and I think it's just so cool to see that stuff, because you guys all make that possible. You make this show happen with your support through those pin sales, and of course, our regular donations through PayPal. You know, if you don't want a pin, you just want to help out the show, consider making a one-time donation via PayPal. All of that money goes right back into the show's production. Again, thank you so much for listening this week. I hope you guys have just an incredible week leading up to the holiday season. And remember to please check out as well our Masonic sponsors, our show sponsor, MasonicRevival.com. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.